Blog Talk Radio.
What a beautiful, beautiful song by Vicky Yahweh. I'm at peace. As I was listening to that song, my mind went to Psalm 37 and 37, where the Bible says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Peace is a wonderful, wonderful fruit of the Spirit. It's a wonderful attribute to have in your life. Every one of us need peace in our lives. Who want to be bothered with chaos? Who wants drama every day? Hey, and some folks are full of drama. Hallelujah, but I'm standing on this scripture today. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Also, the Bible says, follow peace, with all men, and holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. So once again, I greet you all in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus. Truly, this is another day that the Lord has kept me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for another day that he's kept me, another day that he renewed his mercies in my life, another day that I can look and behold that my family are still here in the land and the land of the living. My mother is yet breathing and have life. Amen. So I thank God for everything that he is doing in our lives. I thank God for each and every one of you that come on this line Monday through Friday, and some come on Saturday, and some come on Sunday. We certainly appreciate your support. We appreciate your sacrifices of your time. We certainly appreciate all of our speakers, all of the bishops and apostles and evangelists and ministers and our sisters and brothers in Christ that make the sacrifice to come on this line and minister the word of God to each and every one of us, and even to our listeners that come on the internet and listen at the broadcast live. Amen. We don't know who you are, but we see the numbers. We're able to see the stats. And those that come on the chat room and chat with us and communicate back and forth with us while the broadcast is there. And we thank God for each and every one of you all on this morning. Truly, I don't take anything for granted. You know, I'm thankful for the small things. I'm thankful for the large things. I'm thankful for everything that God does, because what he does, he doesn't have to do it. And when God graces you with certain privileges, then we owe him a thanks. We owe him a praise. Hallelujah. So I just bless the Lord for him on today. I thank God that I see so many on the line. Thank God I see Sister Patrice. I'm going to announce you today. Amen. She is in Oklahoma City, so I have to give up some contact with Elder Gates and Elder Wenzel Stafford that's there in Oklahoma City. So God bless you. We're going to get right on into that and get that information to you. Just so glad to see her. I've been trying to, she's been on my heart for some time now, and I'm just glad to hear from her and know that God is still blessing her, and she's still in the land of the living. Amen. We're going to go, before I get into a word of prayer, I just want to give you some announcements. On tomorrow, we're going to have Prophetess Theodora Glover out of Atlanta, Georgia, will be speaking for us tomorrow on chapter 19. Today, we're on chapter 18, and I certainly want to extend my apologies again. Elder Gates did give me a timely message, but I just didn't see the text on yesterday. So we are glad to know that he did have an emergency, but he is fine and he's well, and he's back with us today to speak on the word of God on today. So we thank God for the young man of God. Amen. And we thank God for all of you. So we want you to know, get ready for tomorrow. She's not a stranger to this broadcast. She has spoken for us before, and she is a young woman also, you know, in our early, when I think Dode is about 41 years old, so she's a young woman that loved the Lord and loved the saints of God. So she'll be with us on tomorrow, and then we'll give you the lineup for Thursday and Friday as the week progresses. And also, I want you all to remember that Friday I will be on the radio station at W as in line, D as in David, J Jack, Z Zebra radio.com, and I'm going to be doing an interview there with Mr. Thomas Hardy, better known as Big TV's the radio host for that broadcast, and this is a live studio, so it'll be airing on 15:30 a.m. out of the Connecticut, Massachusetts area. So we'd like you all to tune in for that if you can. It will be on at 9:30 a.m. and that'll be Pacific time, and that's 12:30 Eastern time, and it's 11:30 Central time. And the number for you to call in and you can listen at the live show is area code 203-367-4395. Once again, that's area code 203-367-4395. And that is this Friday, February the 22nd. Amen, amen. And also want you all to know that Evangelist Lucilla have launched a prayer line that airs at 8 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I don't see her on the line right now. Maybe she'll tune in later and she can give you that information. Amen. And also continue to remember Minister Prophetess Patricia Spates, and most of you all have her call-in number for her prayer line also. Amen. So good to see Sister Barbara with us today and to see Apostle Johnson on the line with us. And we're going to get right on into the word. And I'm going to ask Apostle Johnson to open up with the word of prayer. And then we're going to bring on our speaker for the hour. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Johnson. How are you this morning? This afternoon, same morning anymore.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm good in God. I hope everyone is blessed. We just honor God. We greet you with the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you, God, for everything that you have to say and do, O God. Father, we just thank you, God, for the acts of the apostle. We thank you, God, for learning and building and strengthening one another. We thank you, God, for the speaker of the hour. We ask you, God, to allow them to go into the throne room of grace, O God. Allow God to be a fresh manna from heaven, O God. Father, for we need a word on today, Father, that will heal the land, Father, and that will strengthen us, God, that we'll be able to hide in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Father, we just thank you for all your awesome gifts and all your awesome spirit. We thank you, God, for everyone that has joined this broadcast on today. Father, we ask you, God, to continue to bless their lives, God, for the support of this ministry, God. Father, touch their minds and their hearts and their spirit, God, to be ready for what's to come forward. Father, we just honor you, God, because you're doing an amazing and mighty thing. Father, we just celebrate you on this day. Father, we ask you to send strength and your anointing, God, fresh now, God, into the speaker of the hour. Bless and commence. Father, we know that there's requests that need to be made known on today, God, of what people need, healing and deliverance in areas, God. We ask, God, that you would open up those doors on today. Allow the prophetic anointing and the unction of you, God, to be so open on today. Father, we just praise you because you're awesome and great and mighty. Father, we celebrate you, and it is in your name, God, that we do pray, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle Johnson. Just want to give a shout-out, too, to Evangelist Phillips. Thank God for her tuning in with us today. Truly, she was a big, big help last week. The lines was lit up last week, and I tell you, she is, you're talking about a master with Blog Talk Radio and a master with this switchboard is none better than Evangelist Phillips. So we just thank God for her today. Let me just say praise the Lord with her. God bless you, Evangelist Phillips.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be on the program today to hear the voices that I've heard thus far. And I'm waiting to hear Minister Gates bring the bread of life. Hallelujah. It's nothing but the glory of God that allowed me to do what I do, and I thank and praise him for that. I tried to get on yesterday, but my phone was really acting up. But I thank God it's clear today. Pray for me. God bless you, Apostle Johnson.
Amen. So good to see you, Dad, Phillips. And I did get your text saying that you was getting cut off on yesterday. I thought that may have happened with Elder Gates, but it was another situation. So we're getting right on into the word. We thank God for this young man, Elder Gates, out of Oklahoma, Elder Richard Gates, out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And I tell you, when I haven't formally met him person face to face, but I have met him over the airwaves and what have you, and we love his spirit. And you know, as Apostle Johnson, these young men, you know, they have such wisdom, and they've been seasoned in this word. And when you hear them articulate and you hear them go forward, you think they're older, you know, because they sound so matured, and they all matured in this word. So I just thank God for Elder Gates. He's very sweet and kind and loving, and he knows this word, and I just appreciate him coming and being a part of this broadcast ministry. So we thank God for him, and we want you to know that he is a blessed man of God, and he loves God's people. So with no further ado, we're going to give you now into the hands of Elder Richard Gates. God bless you of Oklahoma City, an Oklahoma kid. Amen. God bless you, Elder Gates.
God bless you, evangelists, and to each of you that are on the line today, we bid you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. And certainly we do appreciate your prayers upon yesterday. As she stated, some things came up, and I had to attend to them immediately. Otherwise, some other things would have gone very badly. But thank God that we were able to address those things and get those things under control. So by the grace of God, we are still here, and everything is all right. And I thank all of you for your prayers on yesterday. Let's go to the Word of God right now. We're in Acts chapter 18, and I'm just going to read one scripture before I go to Acts chapter 18, and I want you to keep this in your mind and in your spirit as we go through the 18th chapter, because I'm going to refer to it probably quite a few times as we begin to extract some things out of the Word of God as we go forth in the reading of the Word. The scripture that I'm going to read first before I go to Acts chapter 13, or excuse me, Acts chapter 18, is 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, and I think it should be one of the central focus verses of the Bible that every child of God ought to apply to their lives every day of their life, because the situation is that we all need to know how to intelligently, and when I say intelligently, I don't mean using big words and, you know, awesome phrases. I just mean just be able to, in a very effective way, be able to communicate who you believe, what you believe, and why you believe what you believe. And the scripture says like this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear." Keep that in mind, because, we're going to refer to that quite a few times over our time together in the Word of God, because one of the saddest testimonies that you will ever run across is someone who cannot effectively or cannot in a very succinct way of some fashion be able to tell you why they believe what they believe. We make light of people's reasoning power sometimes when we say, we make examples of people. They say, okay, well, how do you know you're saved? And they say, well, because I go to church. And that's not the answer. Of course that's not the answer, because a lot of people go to church, but a lot of people are not saved. But the question was not where do you go to church or if you go to church. The question is, how do you know you're saved? How do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the doctrine that you should be following? How do you know? There are some things that we need to be able to explain to some degree. Some can do it better than others, absolutely. But as far as your faith is concerned, you ought to be able, and you should make it your business. You should make it your priority to be able to communicate to anyone that asks you. That's what Peter said. he said, you ought to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope, the reason why you hope, the reason for your faith, the reason for your belief. You ought to be ready to give an answer for that. One, and I'm going to say this and we're going to go into the word. One of the worst things and one of the things that makes me the most angry, I have six children, so I can speak on this from a personal standpoint. One of the things that gets on my nerves faster than anything is if I come home or if my children, you know, if I find out my children have done something or what have you, they're in some kind of situation, and I'll say, well, why did you do that? And their first answer is, I don't know. Or they give me some random answer that does not give me a sense of, it doesn't necessarily excuse what they did, you know, as far as the question that I'm asking them, but at least I can have some kind of structure of your mentality that gives me an understanding about why you came to the conclusion that you did. Because, and here's my point, if you say you're saved, and this is really a fundamental truth, it's a fundamental application that we all need to receive. If you say you're saved, you ought to be able to tell people why you believe that. If you say that you're called to preach or you're called to do this, if you say that you're a part of the body of Christ, you ought to be able to communicate why you believe what you believe. Now, people might agree with you or not, but that's not the point. The point is that you ought to be able to give a reason for it. The point is that you ought to be able to explain it. The point is that you ought to be able to definitively say without shadow of doubt, you ought to be able to centralize your belief system on a testimony that has substance to it. It cannot be just the fact that you go to church. It cannot be just the fact that you was raised in church. It cannot be the fact that you don't drink, smoke, or cuss. It can't just be that. It has to be based upon something that has filtered or that has started and is also sustaining your faith. Because if the truth is that all it takes is for you not to drink, then what about the person that has never drank? What about the person that has never lied? What about the person that has never stolen? What about the person that has never committed adultery? What about those people? What about the people that, in their perspective, from their perspective, are morally right? What about them? Are they saved just because they don't do the stuff that you say you don't do? Or is there a way that we can be able to define, you know, intelligently and scripturally for that matter? Is there a way that we can be able to define and defend our faith? This is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. He said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And thank you, Jesus. If we're not in position to be able to defend what we believe, you don't have to, let me just dispel a myth. You don't have to be a preacher in order to do that. You don't have to be an evangelist in order to do that. You don't have to be a prophet or an apostle in order to do that. You just have to be saved to do that. You have to have been a person that has become a believer by faith, by grace through faith in order to do that. And the only way, thank you, Jesus, the only way that you're going to be able to intelligently communicate that is you have to read your Bible. You have to know what you believe and why you believe it. You have to be able to substantiate what it is that you're believing, and you'll see how this flows into what we're going to talk about today. Because one central aspect of the book of the book of Acts, as we have been studying, one central aspect of the Acts of the Apostles is they had to consistently. Everywhere they went, every time they got into a situation, every time they stood before somebody, an audience of Jews or of Greeks or of Gentiles, every time they stood before magistrates, every time they stood in the audience of philosophers, as y'all studied, excuse me, on yesterday, whoever they were standing before, they had to be ready to actually tell, proclaim, preach, teach the gospel. And if you cannot do that, then I'm not going to say that you're not saved, but I am going to say that you need to spend a lot more time getting into the scriptures and learning of him. That's what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn. Don't just learn how to say my name. Learn of me. Let me teach you who I am. This was the charge that he gave to his apostles before he left. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them. Teaching them. We're going to get to that in just a moment, too. Teaching them to observe everything that I've taught you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, I'll be with you always until the end of the earth. And so understand that Jesus is really taken by this idea of people becoming disciples. And the disciple, by definition, is a disciplined follower and a disciplined learner. There is nothing worse than people let me just put it like this, and I don't mean to be crass or rude, but I'm just being straight with you. If you've been saved for 2 years and you can't understand anything in the Word, something is wrong. If you can't look in the Word and tell from a general standpoint what the Word of God is trying to communicate, then that is an indictment against the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is there, his presence is there to give you the leadership and the guidance into truth. You cannot actually say, thank you, Jesus, you cannot actually say that you have the Holy Ghost if you can't understand the Scripture. Now, you might not be able to understand everything. That's not what I'm saying. You might not be able to understand everything, but there ought to be some sense of understanding as you're growing, because this is another thing that Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to take it very seriously what we're about, because as we're looking through this, as we're looking through the pages of Scripture, particularly in the book of Acts, you're going to start to see some things. You're going to start to notice some trends that happen in society as it relates to Christianity, as it relates to your walk of faith, as it relates to your testimony concerning this Jesus whom they call Christ. All right? Let's go to chapter 18. The Bible says, and you know, you all know how I do it. I just read the text, and then we'll go back through it at certain points, and we'll pull out some things. I'm not going to try to do all of it, but we're going to pull out certain points about some things and hopefully challenge your faith and challenge you to look at things in a more critical way. All right, chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. Verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord unto Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Oh, God. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Acacia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you.
But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will no longer for I will be no judge of such matters. Verse 16. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return unto you again, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea, he gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, and in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Acacia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped him much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So far the text. Now, again, I'm going to go back to my first point. As far as our ability to be able to defend what we believe, because this is so key, this is so central to your faith. You have to be able to substantiate to some degree, and it ought to grow. It ought to become more expansive. You ought to be able to express it in a greater way as time goes on, as time progresses, as you grow in grace, as you grow in faith and in knowledge and in understanding, as you begin to read the word more and to pray and to fellowship with the saints. I mean, if you spend time in Bible study, of course, you know, we should do time in Bible study, you know, at church with our pastors and those kinds of things. But certainly you ought to have enough discipline. And I'm just encouraging you. You have to have enough discipline to turn your TV off sometimes, to put your cell phone down, turn the computer off, unless you're going to use that as a tool to help you study. Turn the computer off every now and then, and get into the Word for yourself, and pray and ask the Lord to help you understand what you're reading, because the Spirit of God will minister to you if you ask Him. The Spirit of God will begin to open some things up, because there is. Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing greater, and I'm telling you, and I'm sure that everybody on this line that has had this experience can testify to this fact. There is nothing greater than a personal encounter with God. Oh, God, there is nothing greater than when God himself speaks to you. I appreciate the pastor. I appreciate the preacher. I appreciate the evangelist. I appreciate him for the way that God uses them. And I'm not putting anything against those gifts, because I'm one of them. I would be foolish to do so. But at the same time, realize and understand that there comes a time, there ought to come a time when you want to know God for yourself, not vicariously through somebody else. You don't want to always be lingering on somebody else's experience. You want to know God for yourself. Because what happens? Nah, God, I hate to say stuff like this, but it bears being said. what happens then if you get locked in a place where nobody's coming to visit you? What happens when you're in a place where you're confined to a situation where people don't know where you are? Do you know God then? What happens in the place? What happens to the place where your pastor, God forbid, your pastor goes to sleep and he does not wake up tomorrow morning? What happens then? Where is your relationship with God then? If you don't have a personal relationship with God where you can go to God for yourself in confidence and with confidence that he is going to speak to you, and he's going to explain and reveal himself to you, then here's what Paul was warning the Corinthian churches against. He said, do not let your faith stand in the eloquence or the wisdom of men, but rather I preach to you Jesus Christ so that your faith stands in him. And so the central idea here is for us to understand that Jesus wants to be personal. He does not want to be, he doesn't just want to be somebody that we only know when we go to church on Sunday morning. That's a wonderful thing, but it's not the only thing. The wonderful thing is when you can meet him on Monday. The wonderful thing is when you can meet him on Tuesday. The wonderful thing is when you can meet him on Friday at 2. You know what I'm saying? The wonderful thing is when you can talk to him and you know that he's listening and he'll talk back. So In an effort to push you into a place, and please don't make the mistake by thinking that I'm judging anybody. I'm not, but I've been in church and around church long enough to know that there are some lazy people in church. That's just a fact of life. There's some lazy folk in church that they lay on people that actually do the work and study their Bible, and they wait for you to tell them what the Bible says. Well, if that's your logic, what happens? And I could tell what happens, because what happens when the trial comes? Them is the first folk that fall out. What happens when the test comes? Them is the first people that lose their mind, because they have not learned the beauty of having a relationship, a one-on-one with God. Please understand what I'm saying. They have not learned the power, thank you, Jesus, of being able to contact God for yourself, because I have been in situations, thank you, Jesus, I've been in situations before where I needed to call somebody, so I thought. And everybody I called, the line was busy. I went to voicemail. The line was cut off. Something prevented me from being able to get in contact with people that I thought was going to be there when I needed them. And it wasn't that they weren't there because they didn't want to be. It was that it's just what that they weren't there. And so what was my recourse then? My recourse then was all I had left was to talk to God. Well, help me understand something. If you know, because we say things, I don't think we take very seriously sometimes. We say things like, you know, if I don't have nobody else, I got the Lord. Okay, that is true, and that is true to the end of the earth and to the end of time. However, how much do you really believe that? Because here comes the situation. When it's time for you to actually defend that belief system, what is your answer? Where's your faith now? Because when things begin to crack and crumble, and when I could not eat for my children had to learn how to put the food in their mouth and chew it and swallow it for themselves. Because eventually the time will come where I won't be here. Eventually the time will come where they will have to fend for themselves. And so it is with you and your walk with God. So it is with me and my walk with God. Fellowship is one thing, but at the same time, please understand, please hear me, hear my heart. Please hear me when I say that there comes a time that you're going to have to be able to stand on your own. And also, there comes a time when somebody is going to need a testimony from you that will bring them into the faith. Because here's the other side to that. It's not just about the fact of you going through a trial and lasting and outlasting the trial, but it's also about the fact that when you're in the presence of other people, thank you, Jesus, because you are a witness. You understand that. You are a witness because the Bible said, we already went over it 1,000 times, but let's go over it again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall be witnesses unto me. After the Holy Ghost has come, you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. So now, although you're going to face trials, you need a relationship with God for that, but also you're going to be a witness to somebody, and you're going to need to be able to effectively communicate the gospel in such a way that at the time of reaping of souls, yes, Lord, at the time of pulling somebody from their faith into the faith of God, from that time, from the position that they are to the position that they should be, you just might be the person that God is calling for in that time and in that season. And so since you're going to be that person at one time or another, it may be your mama, it may be your sister, it may be your best friend, it may have been your worst enemy, but whoever it is, wherever it is, be ready. Be ready to do it, because the situation is that God is going to put you in a position to test whatever it is you say you believe. Now, let's look at this. Paul has just left Athens, as you all talked about on yesterday. He has just left Athens. He's coming into Corinth. Now, Corinth is a place that is well known for its immorality. It is well known for its idolatry. It is well known for its loose and luxurious living. Even today, some of the most wonderful things that have ever happened according to world history happened in and around that area. And so that Paul was going to this particular place, you have to know that he was already being positioned to go into a hostile environment. Now the hostile environment was not necessarily it included this, but it wasn't necessarily a physical environment of hostility. It was more a spiritual environment of hostility. So now the question becomes, who is it that you can't preach to? And I need to pose that question to you because there is something about being able again to defend your faith. How effective are you in presenting the gospel? And who is it that you can or cannot preach to? Because if you run it, let me just create a few scenarios in your mind. If you run into an atheist, what is your answer? If you run into a drug addict, what is your answer? If you run into the, like I said, the morally correct person, what is your answer? If you run into people that have a traditional kind of way of believing, you know, they are the people that they have somewhat of a belief system that kind of looks like Christianity, but you know in your heart by word of their mouth that it's really not, and you know that they're off base. You know that they're off center. So how do you address that? Because here's the situation. If you looked at the way Paul did things, if you look at the way the apostles did things, and we center on Paul greatly because he's pretty much becoming the central figure of the New Testament age at this time. But when you look at the apostles and the acts of the apostles, the work of the apostles, as it concerns the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will start to see, if you're looking carefully and you're looking closely, you will start to see how they elevate in some areas according to their conversation and how they decrease in other areas according to their conversation. What I mean by that is this. When you're talking to the Jews, you have to approach them in a certain way. When you're talking to the Greeks, you have to approach them in a certain way. When you're talking to the sinner, you have to approach him in a certain way. When you're talking to the kings, you have to approach them in a certain way. And you have to be able to be pliable in the hand of God so that when you go into these places and among these different kinds of people, that you're able to communicate the gospel in such a way that God can get fruit out of what you're doing. Because you have one or two assignments. Either you're going to plant or you're going to water. So, and what you don't want to do is you don't want to be the person that is responsible for confusing somebody. You don't want to be the person that is responsible for being unclear or uncertain. You want to be one of the people that is able to effectively plant seeds or water seeds, because as the Bible declares, it is God's ability, it is God's obligation to bring forth the fruit. It is his obligation to yield the increase. Now, but the Bible also says, now, let's balance it out, because the Bible also says, pray ye therefore, Jesus talking, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. Because understand that, and we're going to read this in just a few moments, that when Jesus had sent Paul into a certain area, he said, understand, I got a lot of people there that's waiting on you. I got a lot of people there that's waiting on you. Now, that does not necessarily mean that they were saved, because as we will begin to read further on, we will understand that they weren't actually saved at the time until they heard Paul preach, until they heard Paul explain or teach the gospel or proclaim the gospel. It was after his proclamation of the gospel that they actually came to faith. And so now, when God sends you into a place, when God sends you into an arena, please understand that what God is desiring you to do is to go in there and do only what he has asked you to do. Because oftentimes, and this has been one of the heartbeats of Evangelist Bernard, and she has made it very evident, and I think effectively so. And we need to hear it, you know, as often as we need to. She has made this a platform where she always says, we're not here to argue. We're not here to fight and fuss and, you know, call this one out and call that one out. That's not the platform for this. This platform is for the gospel. And so this is what I'm saying. When Paul went in there, there were times, and I'm going to highlight it here as we read. When Paul went into certain areas, he was excommunicated. He was thrown out. He was beaten out. He was thrown out of the place, and they hated him for it. But please make sure, and hear me when I tell you this, please make sure that the reason that people rejected you was only because of the gospel. It wasn't because that you ran into a skirmish or a situation where you were on the forefront and you were in there running your mouth and you was in there flaunting your stuff. You was in there. You were the reason why folk hate you. No. That's wrong. If people are going to hate you, let it be because of the gospel. Let it be because of the let the rejection be based upon the fact that they can't stand to hear your gospel, not because they can't stand you. Because oftentimes what happens is that we see people that throw themselves out there. And when they throw themselves out there and they get rejected, now people want to throw it back on God and say, well, they didn't want to receive. They just wasn't ready for me. No, they weren't ready for you. They weren't ready for you. They weren't prepared for you. They didn't want you. That's the whole situation. But when they reject you, be absolutely sure that the only reason they reject you is because of the testimony that you gave. And that testimony has to be consistent with who Jesus is. Watch this. So now Paul is going to Corinth, and as we said, Corinth was one of the centers of the ancient world, or the ancient time of the world, as one of the seats of idolatry and immorality. Ephesus was another one, and actually that whole area of Asia Minor was pretty much consistent with that whole situation. So now, verse 2, the Bible says, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, and he was born in Pontus, and his wife's name was Priscilla. Now, these are going to be two people that are going to be key in his ministry and in the force of his ministry and in the production of his ministry. Now, one thing that we also need to address, and I'm sure that we've addressed it at some point or another, but one thing we need to also address is the fact that one thing that we want to be very careful not to do is we want to be careful to not try to compete with each other, but try to complement each other. Yes, Lord. Because oftentimes what is being seen on the forefront of a lot of things is that you start to see how people are in competition with each other. When if we're helpers of one another, why are we competing? why are we trying to outdo each other? No, no, that's not the design. That is not the way God wants it. God gives us severally, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he divides severally the gifts of the Spirit so that all of us can edify one another, so that all of us can minister to one another, so that all of us can build one another up. Because you can't survive without me and I can't survive without you. And so why compete? Why act like we don't need each other? Because in fact and indeed we do. We don't just need each other for one another. We need each other for the propagation or the projection of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. So Paul is meeting here now with two people that are going to be key elements of the gospel and of his ministry. But I say his ministry just for the purpose that, you know, he is the central figure, so to say. But it's not actually his ministry. It is the ministry of the apostles. And so when he runs into these two people, he's going to facilitate them, and he's going to understand what their gifts are, what their talents are, what their strengths are, so that he can work with them and they can work with him, so that the gospel can be preached. That ought to be, yes, Lord, that ought to be how we come together. We ought to be able to come together long enough to figure out who can do what. And who is strong at this and who's strong at that. And we ought to be able to work together without competing and without slamming each other and without, you know, throwing each other's character under the bus. So the Bible says in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked. For by their occupation they were tent makers. Now it was common in that day that whoever you were, oftentimes you did manual labor so that you could either sustain yourself or you could somehow facilitate a way so that the gospel could still be sustained even by the works of your hands, because this is how Paul and Apollos and them made money by their craft. Now, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, here's how we are. Here's what we are. We need, and I'm going to continue to say this, we need to defend the gospel, because it doesn't matter who it is that you're talking to. And this is the beauty, yes, Lord, this is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it does not matter who you're talking to. The gospel fits everybody. The gospel is good for the Jew, for the Gentile, for the white, for the black, for the rich, for the poor, for the homosexual, for the prostitute, for the this, for the that, for the male, for the female, for the young, for the old. The gospel is good for everybody, and it's the only answer for everybody. It's the only answer that we have. It's the only answer we need. And so since we already have the answer, let's defend the gospel. Let's make sure that wherever we are standing in defense of the gospel. We are making sure that Jesus Christ is published, in a sense. We're making sure that Jesus Christ is the one that whose name we're trying to get out there. He said, don't worry about your name. I'll make your name great, but you make mine great first. You make my name great, and then I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about getting your name out there. I'll get your name out there. I'll put you before great men. I'll make sure that people see who you are. I'll make sure, yes, Lord, that people know your name. I'll make sure that the right folk get in contact with you. I'll make sure that somebody hears your voice and say, who was that? I'll make sure of that. You don't have to do that. I'll do that. You worry about getting me out there. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Your assignment, yes, Lord, Mission Impossible, your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to publish, to promote, to elevate, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ.
Come on, that is your assignment.
That is your only assignment. And if you understand one of the primary ministries of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, watch it. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will testify of me.
Come on.
Yeah. Because when the Holy Ghost is actually speaking through you, when the Holy Ghost is actually the one that is, you know, I hear so often, God said, God told me to tell you. Well, okay, he might have told you to tell me, but if somewhere along that conversation that you're telling me what God done told you to tell me, if you're not talking about Jesus somewhere along the way, I'm going to question what it is that you actually said, because you might be speaking of another spirit. You might be speaking by the spirit of error, because the spirit of the Holy Ghost is always going to refer back to Jesus Christ. Always. That's one of his primary ministries. So let's move, because I'm running out of time. And so when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and to testify to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, understand that the Jews, here's the problem with the Jews. They were so close by virtue of the fact that they had the law and the prophets, and they understood that Christ was coming. They were anticipating him, but they missed him. Lord have mercy. They were so close, but they missed him because here it is again. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here it is again. The Jews, in large part, were depending on the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes to tell them where their faith was. And because of that, because the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees could not determine or interpret, or they could not discern that Jesus Christ had come. Since their faith was in the Pharisees, they missed him. Let me reiterate again. If your faith is in man, you're going to miss God every time. You will miss God every time. If your faith is in man, you will miss. The Bible said, woe unto the man that makes flesh his arm. Because when you stand in the wisdom of man, if you stand in the eloquence of how somebody speaks, you know, I've heard people that have speech impediments that were powerful in the spirit. But I've heard people that can speak so well, and they can put verbs and adjectives and nouns and all that. I mean, they could write a book just by the way they talk, but they have no power.
No power.
They have no anointing. They have no anointing, no power, no authority. And quite honestly, part of the authority, when he said you shall have power, after the Holy Ghost comes, when you have power, it does not just mean demonstration. It also means that he gives you authority. This power is also authority, because I said before, it's one thing to speak to somebody. It's a whole other thing to speak for somebody. And as we work according to the Acts of the apostles were sent to speak for Jesus Christ. He sent them in his name. And understand this, that if there's one thing that God will always defend, he will always come to the rescue of his name. And his name is only subject to disgrace at the hands of man. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Nobody can do disgrace despite to the spirit of grace like man can. And as a result, God makes sure that this is why God endows you. This is why God fills you, baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, because he wants to make sure that when you speak, thank you, Jesus, when you speak as the oracles of God. When you speak, you're only saying what I tell you to say. You're not saying what you think. You're not saying what you believe. You're not saying what mama told you. You're saying what I tell you to say, and then when I'm done talking, so are you.
When we start into
learning how to act in the Acts of the Apostles, act in the Holy Ghost, act in the presence and the power of God, we have to understand that the gospel is the central focus. It is the central idea, because it elevates, it highlights everything. So now when he goes to the Jews, he's telling them, you all have and what Paul does so eloquently and what Paul does so systematically is he goes through their law and the prophets, and he says, the law told you this, the prophets told you this, it said this, and it said that, and it said this, and here is where Jesus connects to that. And he was able to translate between Jesus Christ in person and Jesus Christ in prophecy. He was able to translate between Jesus Christ in person and in reality versus Jesus Christ as a figure of the law. Because what he was able to do was he was able to make the connection between the law and Jesus Christ, the prophets and Jesus Christ. And so now the apostles are now building, yes, Lord, the foundation. They're substantiating the foundation of the gospel, because the Bible does say that the gospel is laid upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ mm-hmm. being the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, it means that he must remain. Now, see, watch this. Let me just throw this in there for free. When a cornerstone is laid on a building, because we understand that the church is the building, when a cornerstone is laid on a building, a cornerstone has within it. If you've ever seen a building being erected in your city, if you've ever been in a ceremony where they lay the cornerstone has in it the blueprint of what the building is made up of. So in the event that the building is ever torn down by a storm or something like that, by some freak of nature, in the event that the building is ever destroyed, you already have the plans in place to rebuild the building. So when Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, he's saying, as long as you preach me, as long as you preach me, as long as you preach me upon this rock, yes, I will build my church. And the gates Hatabosia and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yes.
Because in Jesus Christ is the blueprint of the church. He is the living stone. He is the stone that cannot be displaced. He is the stone that cannot be denied. He will be stumbled over. Yes, Lord. He will be scoffed at. He will be lied on. But he cannot be displaced, because he is the cornerstone. Because he is there, and he is there to stay. And
glory, 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 glory. Okay. Enemy don't want that word to go forth. Hallelujah. Let me open up some lines, see if I got anybody with me. Amen. Sister Ruby?
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen. I just wanted to know if everything was all right. Ella Gates' call dropped. Maybe the phone just dropped. I know we're having a little bad weather here in...
Maybe you have to call him.
California. Here he is. He's back. Just a minute. Ella Gates?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
All right. Go ahead. You got dropped. You're back.
Oh, okay, good. So as long as we keep Jesus Christ as the center, as long as we keep him at the cornerstone of the church, then the church cannot fail. It will not fall. But just as soon as Jesus Christ moves from his position in terms of our doctrine, in terms of our testimony, in terms of what we preach, when we start to move away from him, understand that the church is going to crumble, or what we think is the church is going to crumble. Because he said it over, he said it seven times
in the book of Revelation. He said, if you don't return to the place that that you had once found, if you don't return to the place of faithfulness with me, he said, I will remove your candlestick.
Oh,
because when Christ because we have to give deference to the fact that Christ gave his life for this. And he gave his life for us. And so why would we have the audacity to centralize the church on us?
Oh.
To draw away the attention of the church off of Christ onto us. Let's move. I don't have time to deal with that too long. I think I've got the point, though. So now, again, so now as we move along in the text, the Bible says now he left off of preaching to the Jews, and he left off of preaching to the Gentiles. Well, actually, he was going to the Gentiles because now understand that if God has to move away from you because you're not hearing him, something's wrong. Because the fact that Paul had to move away from the Jews and go to the Gentiles, that should have said something to them. That should have sent a blaring alarm to them. I wonder how many of us are like the Jews. How many of us are like Samson? How many of us are like some of the other characters in the Bible where the Spirit of God departed them, but they didn't know it? Because they stopped believing him, because they started playing with the things of God, because they started to do rituals and they started to do the traditional, so that the word of God, the Bible said, Jesus said, as a matter of fact, so that your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. So when God sees that fruit is not coming, watch what Jesus said in John chapter 15. When fruit is not coming from your vine, he said the Father will purge it, cut it off, and will put it in the fire for destruction, because God only gets glory from fruit, and only fruit that remains. And so when fruit is not coming from your life, or the physical church for that matter, when fruit is not coming, God is set in a position where he's about to remove you. He's about to remove that situation out, because you're standing in his way. Because God is a God of production. God is a God of life. God is a God of essence and of fruit. And whenever God does not see what he desires, he moves it. He destroys it. Because to liken God unto death is to liken him unto an idol. Thank you, Jesus. And so Jesus starts to send him otherwise into other places. Now we're in verse 9 and verse 10. So the Bible declares that Jesus spoke to Paul by a vision and told him, don't be afraid and don't hold your peace. Don't hold your peace. Now understand that when God sends you certain places, you know, if the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, and we'll prove this through the Scripture, if the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you and tells you don't be afraid, it is because there is a reason to be afraid.
Ooh.
It is because there's a threat that's coming. It's because you're gonna face a situation where, in on average, you will be terrified. So when he says don't be afraid, he's conditioning you now to be able to understand that I already see, yes Lord, I already see what's about to happen, and so you don't have to worry because I'm already there. You don't have to worry because I'm putting you in a place that something is gonna rise up, but it ain't gonna kill you. Something going to rise up against you, but you stand, you look at me, you watch me, you watch me. If I don't run, you don't run. If I don't move, you don't move. Jesus is telling Paul through a vision, he's saying, something is about to happen, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, and don't hold your peace either. You keep telling the folk what I told you to tell them. Because I'm going to be, yes, Lord, I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your reward. I'm going to be your hiding place. I'm going to be your tabernacle. I'm going to be the one that protects you. I'm going to be your angel. I am assigning myself to you. So when he sends Paul there, he says, when you get there, some stuff going to happen, but don't you get scared and don't you shut up either. I want you to say as much as I tell you to say, as long as I tell you to say it, because you know your mouth is not, thank you, Jesus, your mouth is not going to be stopped until I close it.
Yes, Lord. Nobody can stop. Yes, Lord. When you're actually moving in the anointing of God at certain times, it does not matter what happens. It does not matter what arises. It does not matter what comes against you. When the anointing of God is on your life, nothing can stop you. Nothing. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can prohibit you. Nothing can hinder you. Nothing can destroy you. You can't die until you do what God told you. So the Bible said that he continued there in the place where God told him there was going to be some stuff. He continued there for 18 months. Now, quite naturally, continue on in the following verses. There arose what the Bible called an insurrection. It was basically a riot. Folks started rioting against Paul and said, you know, this clown is coming up in here and he's starting a bunch of trouble because, he's setting up another religion. Because at the time, the Jewish religion was an accepted religion in terms of the Roman government. And that is only because the Jewish religion was no threat to the Roman government. When your religion, and I use that word reverently, when your religion is no threat to the powers that be, something's wrong. Something is wrong with that. When you are shaking hands with the enemy, yes, Lord. When you are abiding what is going on around you that is evidently against the law of God. Because now understand, in Rome there's a whole lot of mess going on. So what happens is that they start an uproar, they start a riot against Paul, and they bring him before Gallio. And when they bring him before Gallio, Gallio was a man that was of such power, he was almost like Pontius Pilate, or he was almost like Caesar in a certain way. He had such power that if he had decided, because what the accusation was is that he's coming up in here, he's starting a lot of trouble, and he's starting another religion that does not agree with ours. The Jews talking against Paul now. Now, Paul is a Jew, okay? That's a whole other subject for a whole other day. But Paul is a Jew, and he's trying to preach to them Christ. So they're saying that he's starting a bunch of stuff, and they're actually putting it in the same context as they put it with Jesus Christ. And I'm gonna just add this just for good measure. The greatest person you want to be compared to is Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. It's one thing that people can say, you remind me of so-and-so, you remind me of so-and-so. I want to remind you of Jesus Christ. That's who I want to remind you of. I want to remind you of somebody that was actually someone to be admired. I want to remind you of him in such a way, and I'm speaking personally. I want to remind you of Jesus in such a way that if I have to face persecution, if I have to face some kind of trial, I'm going to face it because I remind you of him, not because I did something stupid, not because I did something illegal, not because I did something out of the way, but because I upheld, yes, Lord, because I upheld the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now he is standing before Gallio, and when he's standing before Gallio, he's listening to the accusation. He's listening to some people that are accusing Paul of some stuff that Paul didn't even actually do. And so Gallio's sitting there listening to him, and the conclusion of Gallio's judgment was, he said, you know what, I'm not even finna listen to y'all because y'all talking stupid. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. He said, I'm not listening to y'all because y'all talking about something stupid. Y'all arguing about names and dates and, you know, times and stuff. He said, I'm not getting into all that. Y'all deal with that. Same thing that happened with Jesus when they brought him before Pilate. Same thing. Pilate said, you know, I don't even know what y'all arguing about. Y'all deal with this. This ain't got nothing to do with us. They threw Paul back on them. So, now underneath the scripture, God showed this to me. Underneath the scripture, it's not written there, but watch it. Underneath the scripture, when they brought Paul before the judgment seat in the Greek is called the Bema. The judgment seat, the bema. It is where criminals would receive their conviction, or where athletes would receive their reward. Now, Paul used his trial Thank you, Jesus. As a measure or as a point by which to receive a revelation from God. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. Whenever you're going through a trial, whenever you are faced with a test, don't just sit there and whine and cry and holler and fuss and scream about the fact that you're being hurt, about the fact that you're being persecuted, about the fact that something is happening that you don't understand. Shut up long enough to hear what God is trying to show you. Because understand this about your God. Your God is a master teacher. He will use everything to teach you something. So by virtue, yes, Lord, by virtue of the bema, the judgment seat that Gallio was sitting on, Paul received a revelation about how all men shall stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ. And when he received that revelation, God started to show him something about, he said, the reason, yes, Lord, the reason now, and I'm putting something there that you have to look at, you have to see it. The reason that they could not convict Paul was because he wasn't guilty of anything. And his reward was now that he had done what the Lord had told him to do. And since he had done what the Lord had told him to do, God had spared him destruction. God had spared him from their plot and their scheme. And so what they did in response to the fact that Gallio said, I'm not going to deal with this. This is between y'all. Y'all deal with this mess. I'm gone. And so what they did was they turned on the leader of their synagogue, and they beat him up instead of Paul. Now, there's a lot of conjecture that follows that whole situation, which I'm not going to get into today because it doesn't really bear a lot of weight onto what we're talking about. But understand that God let Paul escape. Now watch what we say. We say this. We said there is therefore no temptation that is taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Who would not suffer you to be tempted that above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you might be able to bear it. There are certain things, child of God, that you're going to just have to go through and endure. And the way that God gives you the way of escape, it is not that he brings you out, it's that he preserves you through. God preserves you through. Did you hear what I said? I said God preserves you through it. He doesn't snatch you out of it. He preserves you through it, and that by his grace. But didn't Jesus Christ speak to Paul once upon a time? He said, Lord, remove this thorn. And he said, no, my grace is sufficient. He's given you grace. That's why the storm did not subside just yet, because he's given you grace to endure it.
Ooh.
He's given you grace to outlast it. He's given you grace to outlive it. So now let's move. So Paul has received the reward of having endured this trial, endured this situation. And so now Paul walks out of it unscathed, unharmed for once. He walks out of it, and as he walks out of it, he leaves them for a time, and he goes over to Ephesus. When he goes over to Ephesus, he does some work where he goes to Jerusalem actually, and he goes up there because he's going to start to strengthen some of the disciples there, and he's going to preach the gospel there as well. And then when he comes, he's going to eventually come back, and they're going to go to Ephesus or something. Let me see, where am I at? Lord have mercy. So when he leaves there, he leaves and he goes to Jerusalem. When he goes to Jerusalem, he goes there for the feast of the Jews, and some say that was for the feast of Pentecost. And my assessment of that is that he's probably going there again to preach the gospel because Paul is so concerned. Now watch this. I'm going to digress here for a moment. Paul is so concerned about the Jews that he will risk his life. And even, watch this, I'm going to prove it to you. He will even risk his place with God so that his brethren can be saved. I'll prove it to you.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Watch this. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost.
that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I, listen to what he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He's talking about the Jews. I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is actually saying, he said, if it were possible that I could give up my place with Christ so that they could be saved, I'll do it. I would go to that distance just so that they could be saved. Now, of course, the reason that was a little illogical is because the gift or the sacrifice has already been made in Jesus Christ. So the reception would have to come through Jesus Christ. Their faith could not stand in what Paul did. The faith had to stand in what Jesus did. But the point I'm making is this. The point is that Paul was willing to sacrifice his life for his brothers, mm-hmm. so that they could be saved. Moses did the same thing. Moses, when the children of Israel had gotten on God's nerve and God was about to wipe them out, the Bible said that Moses stood before God and said, if you're going to blot somebody's name out of the book, blot mine out, but spare them. Okay. So remember your covenant that you've made. Now we'll rush to the end of this. Okay. So now, what we see is that Paul is very insistent on his love for the people of God, for the Israelites, and he's pushing the gospel in such a way that he is risking his body, his life, and his limb just for the sake of being able to preach the gospel. Now, at the end of the chapter, we start to see how there was a man named Apollos. Apollos evidently was very skilled in the scriptures, and when it says he was skilled in the scriptures, it meant that he was skilled according to the Old Testament law and up to the port and the portion of where John the Baptist was ministering. But he was like John in a certain way. He was still waiting for the Messiah to come. He was believing that he had come, but perhaps he had not yet heard that the Messiah had come. And so when Priscilla and Aquila had come up to him and heard his doctrine. They did now, mm-hmm. now realize what they did. They did not take him and blow him out in front of everybody. Now, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to go somewhere and sit down. No, what they did was they drew him to the side and said, uh-huh. Let us show you where your doctrine is a little faulty. And they explained to him how Jesus Christ had already come. When they had explained it to him, he believed. When he believed, he was baptized. After he was baptized, it is evident that he was baptized also with the Holy Ghost. When he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, Paul used him to minister to the Corinthian church.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point that I'm making here is this. Let's stop. I made this point before. First of all, let's be sure that we're able to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be able to give a reason for our hope. Secondly, let's make sure that we're able to communicate the gospel at whatever cost. Thirdly, let's make sure that when we speak, we're speaking for Christ, not for ourselves, so that if we are rejected, it's not because of us. It is because of the gospel we preach. Lastly, let's make sure that we're not in competition with one another, because there is nothing so cancerous, there is nothing so destructive to God's church than people that compete with one another. The people that are always trying to make a name for themselves. Mm. Jesus, again, he said, lift me up. This is not about you. I will exalt you in due time.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I will exalt you in due time. Right now, I have chosen by the foolishness of preaching that men ought to be saved. Not by your wisdom, not by your knowledge, not by your interpretation, not by this or that. Just preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you preach that, then the operation of the Holy Spirit, the acts of the apostles, will become evident in our lives. And God will make sure that our testimony and our names are substantiated, because he said this, and I'm closing with this. He said, don't rejoice. Jesus told his disciples, don't rejoice because you have power over demons, but rather rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God bless you, evangelist.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Ella Gates. My God, what a word. What a word. I tell you, I wouldn't have wanted to be no other place than on this line today to hear that awesome word. That was a mighty word, God. I can't say nothing behind that. He has taught this word today. Hallelujah. And it just confirmed some things in the Bible. Say out of the mouth of two or three, every word is established. Amen. He did an excellent, excellent job. God bless you, Elder Gates. We thank you for that word on today. And we're going to go to our callers on today. Thank you all that's in the chat room and those that are listening live on the line, too. We appreciate you for that word on today. Amen. We still have about 12 callers on the line. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to Lady Cal Stafford first, and then I'm going to go to Sister Ruby, and then calling her the Evangelist Phillips, and then Faithful Faith, and then we'll get to the rest. Amen. God bless you, Lady Cal.
God bless you, woman of God, and to the Elder
Amen.
Gates. Truly, I thank God for the word of God on today. Truly, it is really
Amen.
Needed. Letting the people know there is no competition in when we're serving God. Hallelujah. It's all about
Glory.
Coming together and building. This is what kingdom work is. Glory to God. We all have a function. And it's not to tear down one another, but to build each other up. Glory to God. And I just thank God for the word. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lady Cal. Mr. Ruby.
Oh, you hit me. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Vandis Bernard and Pastor Gates. You know, I really like the way you do it, Pastor Gates. The Lord lead you, that you read the whole scripture, and then you come back and expound on it, and that's truly a blessing. I can't say nothing but the word is real. Jesus is real. He's sending a message. So I just appreciate the word today and being on the broadcast. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Evangelist Phillips, tell you this is the word. Good word.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I enjoyed the message, and I don't believe in speaking over the messenger, but not only was he teaching the Acts of the Apostles, he was also teaching apologetics of Jesus. God bless you, Elder Gates, for a wonderful word. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. We're going to Sister Barbara and then to Evangelist Lucilla. Sister Barbara, God bless you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord, everyone. First, I give honor to God and to all. And I just thank God for the word today that the Holy Spirit spoke through Pastor Gates today. And I really enjoyed the message. Y'all pray for me.
Amen, amen. Evangelist Lucilla, then we're going to area code 919. Last four of your numbers, 317 after 3187, I'm sorry, after Evangelist Lucilla. God bless you, Evangelist Lucilla.
What a profound word of God.
He is a
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I wasn't for sure. But man of God, Elder Gates, God bless you. That was a great, what a great word. Magnificent word of God. And truly, I was eating and digesting every word of it because it put me right there, right where you were speaking. And I praise God for you and for that word. And all I know, I don't like to say a whole lot. I'm just like Evangelist Phillips and Evangelist Adrian. I don't like to go too much behind the word. But I will say, amen. The word of God is right, and the way of the world is wrong.
It's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to episode 919. God bless you. Caller? Amen, amen. Well, we'll go to Faithful.
Faithful. Amen. What a wonderful word. Elder Gates is right on time with that word, and I loved it. What a great study. And I'm actually going to be rereading it tonight, and I'll go back and play the link again as well. I thank God for it. It was wonderful. Good job. Great job.
Amen, amen. Sister Dawn, God bless you. Dawn? Okay, I'm going to go back to the area code 918. 919, I think this is Sister Mims. God bless you, Sister Mims.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. I thank God for the word. It was awesome, and it was wonderful to my soul. To God be the glory.
Amen, amen. And we certainly thank God for those out of the Carolinas. I tell you, some are under the administration of Apostle Johnson, and we certainly thank God for them tuning in and being with us. We're going to Pastor Johnson. He was on and off for a minute. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you all. Certainly it's an honor and a privilege to hear the word the way it was taught tonight, this afternoon. Man of God, you did a wonderful job with the exegesis of the text. You know, I like to say that, you know, you can tell that this was long overdue, that it was something in your belly. And anytime the enemy is fighting to try to get a word out that you have inside of you, you know that that it's been purposed and it's been destined. So that's why there was a struggle going on. That's why there was a battle, because there's a word in your mouth. And God said to tell you today that he's requiring more of you. He said, now is the time. He said, set this thing in order for me. Because he's desired to grow your ministry. He has you in a place that has been set aside just for you in this hour. God has set this ministry aside just for you within this season. God is trying to do something greater in your life, man of God, because there's a word that's going to help change people's lives. He's going to build, and he's processing you. And God said, the process is over, that I've processed you, and I've got you complete, and I've got you covered. And God said to tell you this day that I'm setting some things in place for you. So I know that enough is enough, that the enemy is going to have to back up off of your trail. He's going to have to back up out of your family's life, and he's just going to have to submit to the will of God. Just like we saw over here in Acts 18, chapter verse 9, that this is something I will tell you to hold with you, great man of God. Verse 9 and 10, he said, then I spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold your peace. For I am with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. There's many people in your city that's been assigned to your life, man of God, that are waiting for you to embrace them that you don't even know. There's people that's been set aside, and God said, I'm showing you, just through you pouring out and reaching out to people, that ministry is there for you, that, yes, you are equipped for the battle. Yes, it's time for your ministry to blossom. Yes, it's time for you to do the things that I've called you to do. You've been struggling, but the Lord said, struggle no more, for now is the time, and that I am God, and I will raise you up in this hour, for I'm the Lord thy God, and I wish to do great things for you. Man of God, that's what the Lord has said on today. The word was very vivid, it was very strong, it was powerful, it was taught very well. But God said to tell you that this day, that he's been preparing you for this journey, and the journey's here right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you.
There was something that I would like to say to you, Evangelist, that be not afraid of their faces. Because there's people that are talking and people that are conjuring things. But God said, be not afraid of their faces. Back to verse 9 again, where he said, the Lord unto Paul in the night by a vision. Understand that God has given you a vision, woman of God. He has spoken to you strategically how to do the vision. He's told you what he needs you to do and how he needs you to do it. So God said in this same vision, I'm speaking to you to be not afraid, but speak and hold your peace. Speak the word of God, the truth, and hold your peace. Those that are bickering and backbiting and talking and are putting down, God said, no, you hold on, woman of God. While there's still time in this hour, you hold on. You hold out in this season and watch how I bless you and what I've set up for you. That is destined for you to be around in this hour and in this season. That is destined for you to be a blessing to the people of God and the kingdom of God in the way that you are.
Hallelujah.
God said, hold your feet, hold your peace, and let me fight your battle. Because he says, for I am with you. And no man shall set on you and hurt you. And for I have made many people in the city. Then he says, and I continue there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God amongst them. You got to stay where you are until God tells you to move. You got to continue to be in your air in the same time, in the same hour, during this time until God say move. But man can't move you. And all the distractions and all the things that are coming against you, it can't move you. God said it won't move you. But God said, stay steadfast and unmovable, always abiding in the word of the Lord. It is well, evangelist, there's great things ahead for you, but you just got to know and understand that there is that greater is coming. I told people God on Tuesday that greater is coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Greater is coming. Oh, my God, feel the prophetic anointing of God. I'm going to be quiet, sir. God bless y'all. Y'all take it. I feel the prophetic anointing of God. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God.
I mean, this is a fivefold ministry. Just think of that. A fivefold evangelist. So don't tell me that there's nothing for you to do. There's something for you to do. Well, what are you desiring? Apostle Johnson preached on last week. Hallelujah. Can God trust you with your gift? And then his subtopic was dare to trust him. So we have gifts and talents that's not being used for the body of Christ, and they're just laying dormant. You know, God wants us to be witnesses. He wants us to be effective. He wants us to be able to do like Paul and Silas did, Peter and John did. And yesterday we talked about how the apostles turned the world upside down. They were bound. Some of them was put in the prison. Some of them was beheaded. Hallelujah. Some of them lost family members. But guess what? They continued on preaching this gospel. And Ella Gateson preached it so eloquently today. I tell you, the dead burial, if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, honey, you can't err. You won't go wrong. But we get tired. Because guess what? The Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can't go through tests and trials and tribulations and persecutions, and then you say, oh, we sang this song, I am no way tired. Well, you know, please, don't even sing that song, because we all get tired. We all get weary, because we're in this flesh about 85-90% of the time. So come on, we all get weary. We all get tired. We all feel like I have these moments where we just want to throw in the towel and say, forget it. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of Moses. Hallelujah. The Lord didn't tell him to smoke the rock, but he smoked the rock. Hallelujah. He said, drink, you rebels, because he was tired. That was that fleshly part of Moses that acted the way he acted. Hallelujah. But you do get tired. Especially if you're in a leadership position, if you're pastoring and you're teaching and, you know, you are exhorting this word and what have you. You know, folks ain't going to want to hear you all the time. And I didn't come on this line for them to hear me every day. That's not what God instructed me to do. And that's why I try to line up men and women of God that is full of the Holy Ghost that I know something about. That I know they're living all that they're living. And, you know, we invite them to come on the line and to preach the word and encourage. Are we on this line to encourage? We're not on this line to condemn. And we're not on this line to judge nobody. We're on here to give some encouragement and to empower you and let you can and know that you can pursue your destiny in Christ. And God is a God of today. He's a right now God. He said all of what we've done has been buried in the sea of forgiveness. But you know, people will never let you. You can't live down your past before folks, because they're going to always remember. Didn't they do it with Jesus? They said, who is he? He's Jesus. He's a carpenter's son. Hallelujah. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Amen. So you know, that's what folks say about us. When God begins to elevate us and God begins to open up doors, everybody can't think it, but oh well, it is what it is. But I thank God for each and every one of you all on today. I'm going to see this somebody, there's some noise on the line. Let me clear this switchboard. Down some of these, one or two of these lines are still open. It's still open, I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to see if I see Sister Patrice still on the line. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. No, she fell off the line. But she's a young lady. She's moved to Oklahoma City, Elegance, and I'm going to have to get you her number. Amen. But truly, my heart is really, I'm happy with this.
Hello.
A little sad going on earlier in the morning, but this word has encouraged me, and even the prophetic word that came out of the mouth of Apostle Johnson
it has also encouraged me. So I thank God for each and every one of you all on today again. Thank God for Sister Faithful and Sister Barbara. God bless you. Just so happy to see you on the line and participating with us. We did see Sister Carter on also, but she had to drop off. And I see Sister Brucilla, and I want Evangelist Brucilla to have a moment to tell you about her prayer line and what's coming up with her. Evangelist Brucilla.
God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. God bless each and every one again to each and every one of you. I have a ministry, Yes, I Care Ministries, and it's Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 days a week, from the hours of 8 a.m. through 9:30 a.m. Pacific Standard. That will be 9 a.m. Central and 10 a.m. Eastern. This is every week. God bless you. Thank you, Evangelist.
Can you give them that number, Evangelist Priscilla?
I do apologize. I am so sorry. That call-in number is area code 805-399-1000. Once more, 805-399-1000. And the access code would be 869-045. 869-045. All right. I guess that'll do it. Thank you so much, Evangelist. Back to you.
Amen. And I believe you have a guest speaker tomorrow with you, tomorrow morning?
Yes. I am expecting Prophetess Patricia Spates, and I am waiting to still hear from her, but she is expected and to be on the conference call in the morning, Wednesday morning.
Amen.
Thank
you.
Every one of you are so invited. Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, everyone, we invite every one of you to please come in and listen to this wonderful, great, mighty woman of God. Truly, she is an amazing woman of God. And I know you don't want to miss, because she's going to have a word from the Lord just for you. So that's in the morning, 8 a.m. again. And you do have the call-in number. Thank you again, Evangelist Agent. Thank you.
Amen, amen. So please tune in tomorrow morning and support Evangelist Priscilla, and also Mother Faith, that faithful Mother Faithful Station. We just thank God for this young woman and all
Evangelist.
That she's doing to help us in
Evangelist.
The ministry. She has been a blessing in our lives, so we thank God for her on today. And if you are in ministry and you need any graphic work done or what have you, please contact Faithful Faith, and she can give you her number. Let me let her give you her number. And also, before she comes and give you that number, we want to tell you we will be in the studio with the radio broadcast, and we will be interviewed and speaking on that program on Friday, and that's with W as in Wine, D as in David, J Jack, the ZebraRadio.com, and that'll be with Mr. Thomas Hardy out of Connecticut. So that'll be Friday morning at 9:30 Pacific Standard Time. And the call-in number, if you all want to call in and hear the interview and hear a word, it's area code 203-367-4395. Again, that's 203-367-4395. And that is this Friday, February 22nd. Amen. And I will be interviewed on there. So just God is just opening up the we thank him for that. Amen. We're going to Faithful right now. God bless you, Faithful.
Hey, I think so. God, we're trying to.
Okay.
I said, I think one of the men of God were trying to say something. I don't know if it was Elder Gates or Apostle. One of them were trying to get your attention.
Okay, who was it? That was
this,
Eric?
This,
It's Liz.
Go right
Hello.
Ahead. Yes.
Hello. It's me. I'm sorry, Evangelist. I was just wanting make you where I had some of the leaders that sit there. There's a very powerful woman of God on the line today. Her name is Elder Ingrid. She is a wonderful asset to the kingdom of God. She has a new ministry in Raleigh, Garner, North Carolina, and certainly I honor God for her today and taking out her busy schedule because she has a business as well to be online with us, and I just wanted to see if you would have room for her to have room and to greet the people of God. I think she's still online, I do believe. I don't think that she's released. And Minister Mim, she just really enjoys the concept of what God is doing within this season as well.
Okay, is that Minister Mim? Apostle Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am.
She's on my line.
Okay, go right ahead.
Praise the Lord, woman of God.
Praise the Lord.
I am so blessed by listening to the word this evening. It blessed my spirit so much. It was a word for the season, for God's people, and for those that have the ears to hear, to just hear what God was saying through the man of God. And I just pray that he will continue to allow himself to be used by the Lord. And I look forward to hearing more and to be fed some more. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening in, and don't let this be your last time, and certainly we will talk with you and see what's on your heart, and certainly we are here on this broadcast Monday through Friday just lifting up the name of Jesus, and we thank God for all of the women and men of God and the vessels that God is using in this season. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you, Minister Mim. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, we're going to go to Faithful and let her make an announcement and tell you a little bit about her business. Then we're going to go back to our speaker of the hour, and that's none other than Elder Gates for his final remarks, and we're going to let him close us out with a word of prayer. Amen. God bless you, Faithful.
Hey, everyone.
Is
greetings.
Faithful? Do we have anybody desiring? Is there any prayer requests? Before we go off the air, we want to certainly be in tune with that. If there are any prayer requests, please make it known after Faithful does our announcement. God bless you, Faithful.
Amen. Really quick, we just do affordable graphic design and services. We help the people of God, of course, get the word out even more. If you need anything, you can give us a call at our main line. Our corporate office is 512-436-0611, and we're actually there should be a link on Evangelist Adrian's website. You can actually go to her website. It's www.newdestinyministries.com, and you can contact us through her as well if you need any help. And if you have any questions, feel free to call us. A lot of people don't know anything that need, and they have a lot of questions, and they have concerns. So feel free to call us. We would give you the real deal truth of everything. Amen. We believe in helping the people of God go forth even the more in graphic design and promotion and marketing materials. So amen. We love you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And if you all haven't taken a moment to visit our website, please do so at www.newdestinyministries.com. And she has done a wonderful job, and I'm telling you, I say, woo, God, the talent that God has given his people. So the lines are open. If we have any prayer requests, you can make it known now. If not, we're going to go back to Elder Gates for our final run-through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going. Anybody have any prayer requests? Okay.
Yes, sir. I have a prayer request. My prayer request is that God will continue to strengthen my heart, my mind, my spirit, continue for me to be more like him,
I also would like to pray for my family, my children, for the kingdom of God, for New Joy International Ministries, and also that we would pray for Stillwater Christian Prep, and that God would just continue to have his way in our lives. Also continue to pray for my grandmother, who was taken off a hospice. Praise be to God for we touch and agree. And also pray for Bishop Campbell. God is doing great things in him and continuing to heal him from this recovery that he had to go through and the ordeal. But continue to pray for him as well.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to give it back into the hands of Apostle. I said Apostle, that's okay, Elder Gates. God may be elevating him, but give it back into the hands of our speaker, Elder Gates, and remember those prayer requests, Elder Gates. God bless you.
Certainly. And once again, we give God praise for his goodness and for the people of God. I appreciate all of your input and your response, and I do honor the Lord for centering me around such wonderful people of God, from Evangelist Bernard and just the whole list of people, some that I am anxious to get to know on a greater level, and I just praise God for that. And Evangelist, let me just say to you before I pray, the young lady that you were referring to, I'm not sure who she is, but you're free to give her my telephone number, because I know some people aren't, they don't like their telephone numbers given out to people that they don't know. But I'm okay with you giving her my telephone number if she chooses to call, and we'll take it from there. So, amen. God be praised for all things done, and we are enjoying our journey through the Acts of the Apostles, and we pray that as we are going deeper into the revelation of God, that we are also applying that revelation to our lives so that God will be glorified. Amen. And in particular to Apostle Johnson, certainly we praise God for that man, for you, man of God, because from the way that God uses you to minister is phenomenal in and of itself. And we know that no man is sufficient of these things, but it is God that qualifies whom he calls. And we thank God for the labor of love that you endeavor to give to the body of Christ. And certainly we will continue to lift you and your family and all of those prayer requests up. And I just want to encourage everyone, just before I pray, I have said before and I will say again, and I haven't done it as of yet, because I'm just waiting on some money to loosen up for me. But just as soon as I can, I would encourage everyone to visit Evangelist Bernard's website and to become a supporter of this ministry, because understand when God is doing something, and understand when God is speaking, and when God is doing something with somebody else, support them, because God has put you in connection with this woman of God for a purpose, and part of that purpose is for us to encourage her in the work of God that God has given to her. You can't lose by being supportive and by loving God's people. You just absolutely cannot lose in that manner. And it'll be in the next few days, Evangelist, I promise you that. In the next few days, you'll see some things that are coming from Oklahoma City that are coming your way. And it's going to be on a consistent basis, because, I mean, I love Evangelist Bernard, although she said we've never formally met. I have fallen in love with her, and I appreciate the relationship that is developing between us. Amen. And to you, God's people, we bid you Godspeed and God's favor and God's blessings. Father, we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
The anointing of God. The anointing of God. Let it rest upon us. Let it breathe on us. Let it breathe on us. Oh, God. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
I want you to tell Sister Phyllis that the Lord is going to meet the need. That the Lord is going to meet the need. I hear it in my spirit. I don't know what it means. I don't know what's going on with it, but the Lord said, I'm going to meet the need. I'm going to meet the need. Oh, gracious and kind Father, God, we thank you this day. We thank you, God, for what has been said and done. We thank you for the word that has been poured out. Father, strengthen your manservant, God. Send strength back into his body. Pour unto him like never before. God, for this is your elder, your manservant, God, that you build up, God. Father, God, everything that you build up inside of him, God, Father, we just thank you for it. God, that you're restoring strength up to his body now. God, that you're refreshing the body, God, that you're sending virtue back to the body even the more. Father, we thank you, God, that there's a complete turnaround, that there's a shaking in the spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, God, that you're doing these things for him, God. God, that you're moving some things around, that greater is coming to our lives. Father, we thank you for it the more, and we bless you for being that great God, that awesome God that you are, the great Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. Jehovah Shalom, the greater I am that I am, the Christos, the Christ, the risen Savior. Without you, there is none. Father, we celebrate you on this line today, God, for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, God. But most of all, God, we just send blessings, God, to this man of God's household. We speak blessings to his household now for the miracles that he's released, and for the doors that are opening. God, we just praise you for it. Miracles, miracles, miracles come to his life now. We speak it forth. I speak it as a prophet of God, that a praise report is on the way. Miracles, miracles, signs and wonders. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It shall be so. It shall be so. God, you do all these things, God, that we're blessing and we're praising you for, that the blessings and the miracles are here even now, that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I think our gates got cut off. I think you got cut off after we're over our recording, the live airtime was up about 3 minutes ago, and you're not able to call back in when the live time is up, but we're still on recording time, but the live time is up. So we thank God for each and every one of you all on today that have tuned in and joined us with this word. Tomorrow we'll have Prophetess Theodora Glover that will be speaking for us on chapter 19. We're still in the Acts of the Apostles. So we're looking forward to a beautiful week, and we just want you all to tune in tomorrow. Tune in early where you can hear this woman of God. We're not going to prolong anything. We're going to get right on into the word. So, again, thank God for Evangelist Phillips. God bless you, Evangelist Phillips. We appreciate you. Evangelist Lucilla, still on the line, and Sister Barbara. God bless you all. We all so
God bless you too.
In. We praise the Lord for
Evangelist.
We certainly, yes?
Evangelist.
Does someone want to say something?
Yes. This is Evangelist Williams. I heard the man of God a few minutes ago, he gave a prophetic word. And I couldn't catch the name who he was giving that word to. I couldn't catch the name. He was giving a word to a sister about things going to be okay. And I just didn't want to miss
Apostle
that.
Apostle Johnson, can you give that name?
Yes, I was saying, Sister Phyllis, that's what I was saying, that if I recall what the Lord was saying in the spirit, that's what was going on. But even then, woman of God, I heard God say
that your request has been made known and that he's heard you and that everything that you're needing within this time and within this hour, that he is completely turning it around for you. And that the miracle that you need to be released, God said to tell you that it's been released, that it's done. He said, activate your faith and look for it and see it and watch it come, that it's going to meet you. And God said to know that it is so.
Okay, so that
God
message was for Sister Bruce. Was it for Sister Brucilla? Did you get the name wrong, Apostle Johnson?
I think so. I think so. It was,
this is Sister Brucilla. Her name, you may have thought it was Phyllis, but her name is Brucilla, and this is the woman of God that's on the line that has the prayer line. Evangelist
yes.
Brucilla.
Okay,
so that word was for her.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So that word was for you, Evangelist Brucilla.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you, man. Bless you, man of God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.
Ah, my God, my God, my God. I just feel the anointing of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Is there any, just, I just feel that there's something that we need to say, that's something that someone is that wanting to be heard to God. I just feel it in my spirit, and I feel the prophetic unction of God. I feel God's movement. Is there anything that you want to hear from God, anything that you feel in your spirit or that you would like to?
Praise God, praise God. I believe Apostle Johnson, he said Phyllis, and I think he was trying to say Phillips, because I remember Okay, I believe Apostle Johnson. I mean no disrespect, but I think he was referring to me. He said Phyllis, but he meant Phillips.
Yeah.
Because I was asking for my prayer request the last time that I was on when he was on. I think that was day before yesterday. What's today? Well, I'm lost on the day. Okay. Yes, and I was asking for a miracle. My prayer request was for a miracle.
Okay.
So I believe he was, I'm not sure, I could be wrong. He could be talking about Evangelist Brucilla, but I'm receiving it for myself.
Okay.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
Praise
so
God.
Let me tell you about God.
I can't hear when everybody is talking.
We adapt and we celebrate. When I say this, when we adapt and we celebrate each other and celebrate and get excited about what God is doing for somebody else, he turns around and does the same thing for us.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So it's important that that when we hear a word that we get excited. That's why I tell my people of God and train them that every time a prophetic word comes, we have to celebrate. Because sometimes prophetic utterance, it deals with past, present, and future tense. See, when a person prophesies to you, you have to know when they're dealing with. They deal in different areas. They could be dealing in your past and telling you about something in your past. They could be telling you something that's going on right now, or they could tell you something that's in future tense. And see, people that prophesy houses and cars and land and all that stuff, they have not been truly seasoned by God, because all those things happen, but people use those tactics to manipulate and to try to bring a form of disgust to what God is actually trying to do within this time frame. So we've got to understand, as mature Christians, to continue to celebrate each other and what God is doing in each other's life, and then God just does a double-fold blessing. He just hits us with a win. And just
amen.
So
praise
I can
God.
Say to the both of you that I call you blessed and call you favored by him. And in this hour, God is just pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. He's releasing miracles to those that are ready.
and in a position for it. And so turn around and come in. And we're here on these lines because we're touching and agreeing together that God is up to something. And he's up
in
to
Jesus
something
name.
Amazing in our lives.
Yes.
Miracles are here. They're not here later. They're here right now.
Right
they're
now.
They're not coming later, but they're here right now.
Right now.
Hallelujah.
We got to
keep the
right
now mentality. We got to keep the right now mentality.
Right
and
now.
And understand something. The word fret in Hebrew and Greek means to worry not. Fret
mm-hmm.
means that you're worrying about situations.
Yeah.
Fret not yourself about situations. That's why
that's
it's a powerful scripture, fret not yourself of evildoers.
Yeah.
Then he told him over in Psalms, he said, fret not thyself. Fret, you gotta stop worrying so much about
thank
these things God. That are coming. You said, well, how do you not worry about something and it's there, preacher? You just got to just give it over to God. God said, the moment that you give it to me and just relax to me, the moment I can just move it over. I'm going to do it anyway, but it'll be even easier if you just release it.
Mm-hmm.
God is looking for a release on today.
Oh.
Yes,
a
he
release.
Is.
Hear me well. A release. God,
thank you, Lord.
God is looking for a release.
Thank you.
Glory.
Thank
God.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you, the battle is not ours. It's the Lord. It belongs to him. But he's trying to get us to a position in our faith to dare to trust him. It's just like if he's asking Peter, bid him to come, and he's asking us, he said, now, will you step out? Will you step out and
in
not
faith.
Take your eye off for me?
Step
will
out
you step
of faith.
Out? Come on.
Yeah.
Will you step out and not take your eye off of me?
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
God is up to something. He's trying to do something miraculous. But he's saying, do you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me?
Yeah.
That's why I keep asking the people of God as much as I can, do you dare to trust God? Because when you trust him, the word dare is defined in Webster Dictionary as a risk worth taking. God Almighty. It's a risk worth taking this to follow God. I say to you all today, I love you with the grace and peace of God, but God is going to do what you need him to do in your life. He's going to do it speedily, and he's a God that he won't forget about you. I'm telling you, there's testimonies that are coming. There's praise reports that are coming. I commend something, and I believe it. When I speak it out my belly, I know it to be so. And I'm telling you, you're going to have testimonies in the up-and-coming weeks about how God has turned it around. There's some of you in up-and-coming days about how God has turned it around. I heard a woman of God tell me today, she called me and gave me a praise report. She goes on Mother Spence's line, and she goes on to the prayer line, and she told me, she said, God has done something brand new in my life. I'm 67 years old, and I've always prayed for the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, and I've never prayed, I've never received the Holy Ghost. But today I received the Holy Ghost. And it's only been because I've been increasing my faith. I've been tapping into what's being said on these lines and doing the preaching and doing the prayers and everything else that's going on. And she thanked me, and she got to thank me to thank God.
Yes, give God the glory. Give God the glory.
But it's amazing what God is doing through these lines. But there's a testimony that is on the way.
Thank you, Lord.
Y'all going to have good reports to
let
come
it be
back
me,
and celebrate
Lord.
About what God has done.
Thank you, Jesus.
And each day I see things just turning around. I see things getting better. And everyone under the sound of my voice now, I've been seeing each day get better. Some days have been long. Some days it's somebody here that days get long and it seems like you're crying and you're weary and you can't wait till the day is over. But God has fixed that thing and now your day is becoming peaceful. Things are coming to get better. Things are walking out and things are getting better. And I thank God for what he's doing.
Yes.
And I know I'm talking right because I'm not a lying prophet. So I know this is revelation for somebody here right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Will you pray for Apostle Johnson?
Were you talking to me? I can't. You sound muffled. I can't hear you.
Yes. Can you pray for Apostle Johnson?
Oh, I'd be honored to pray for the man of God. Hallelujah. If I was in your presence, I would wash your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for the prophetic word that came from your man of God. Hallelujah. We know that he is a man of God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for the word that you gave to him to give to us, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we stand on that word. Hallelujah. We believe it. And whether we believe it or not, it's your word, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we accept it. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the man of God. Now bless, continue to bless and encourage him and keep feeding him in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever he walked, let the ground be blessed. Whatever he touched, let it be blessed. Whatever word that come out of his mouth, let it be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. When eyes look upon him, they don't have to ask him, is he saved? Hallelujah. Are you saved? Hallelujah. It's going to show in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We truly thank you. Hallelujah. For sending a man of God for a time such as this. We need the word. We need to be taught. We need to be encouraged. We need to hear your word, oh God. Hallelujah. We need to be taught. And I thank God for your teaching, God. I thank you for Apostle Johnson. Hallelujah. Bless his entire household. Bless each and every one of his children. If he has grandchildren, Lord, touch them too. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch everyone in his family, saved and unsaved. Hallelujah. Let the saved say yes, and let the unsaved say, how can I? Huh, what do I have to do? In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Keep doing what you're doing, Apostle. All is well. I hear God saying, well done, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. Tell the people whether they want to hear it or not. Tell them whether it's good or bad. Tell them, preach the word of God. Teach the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes they don't want to hear it. Apostle Johnson, I see some woman turning her nose up at you and turning her back to you. Hallelujah. And walking away. But hallelujah, you told her something that she needed to hear.
Some woman turning her nose up, walking away, and turning her back.
Okay, turning her back on the man of God.
Yes, God.
She needed to hear it. She couldn't receive it because it was true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, but she's going to come back to you and apologize because whatever you told her is going to come to pass. And when it comes to pass, she's going to remember Apostle Johnson told me that, or whatever she calls you, my pastor told me that, or uncle told me that, whomever this woman may be, I see her. I can see her. So God bless you and keep you. God bless your heart, your bones, and all your parts. In Jesus' wonderful name is my sincere prayer for you and everyone that is on this line, that is left on the line. I don't know who's left, but whoever's left, God bless you and keep you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hey! Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Is there anybody else?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the song in my spirit saying, Lord, whatever you're doing this season, don't do it without me. Ha!
Hallelujah.
Don't do it without me.
Oh, glory.
Lord, whatever you're doing this season, don't do it without me. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Please don't do it without me. I can hear somebody saying, if you're healing this season, if you're healing your people this season, Lord, please don't do it without me. I know I got the song all twisted up, but Lord, don't do it without me. God know what I'm talking about.
We gonna play it.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just begin to thank God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's been good to you.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be here tonight, but he's...
Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God.
Good God. Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I dare you to just give him the praise.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Whatever.
There you go. There you go.
You're doing.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In this season.
Yes, Lord.
Please. Don't do it without me.
Don't do it without me.
Don't do it without me.
Yes, Lord. Please.
You
got
to sell it for yourself. Lord.
Yes, Lord. Whatever you're doing, Lord.
In this season,
please
don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on,
please,
help
me
say.
You need a healing.
bless you. God bless you, Minister Ma'am. Thank you for staying on. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. Love you.
Thank you, Jesus.